Welcome to Total Engagement with me, Matt Kuhn, brought to you on the MLW Radio Network, partnered with our friends over at WrestleZone.com, which is the world's most widely read internet news website. I'm Matt Kuhn, and I am packing and getting ready to go to StarCast, where we're going to start our daily Total Engagement shows. Please make sure to subscribe. Make sure to subscribe today, because you don't want to miss an episode. It'll be your short daily listen of wrestling talk here at Total Engagement. And I appreciate everybody who's along for the ride, and I appreciate everybody who listens. I look forward to meeting you all at StarCast. And today we have a little bit of a treat. Of course, last week we interviewed Conrad Thompson, an interview that made a little bit of news, as Conrad usually does. And after I tried to cut off, we still talked for like 30 minutes afterwards, and I kept most of that. It's a fun conversation between two friends. We do touch on some subjects involving wrestling, like maybe my time with Vince Russo and also his new Arn Anderson podcast. That's going to be awesome. A Conrad Arn Anderson podcast. Sign me up for that one. But we also just kind of bullshit about food and my son and Arby's and In-N-Out and Corvettes and driving. And it's just kind of a fun conversation. And of course, Conrad gets in his trademark Matt Kuhn insults. Plenty of those. I think it's a fun listen. I hope you'll enjoy it. And it's coming up right now.
Hey, so let me ask, where is this going to air? I mean, are people actually going to hear this? Because if your name's on it, I don't think people are listening, right?
It's on the MLW Radio Network, where a lot of fine podcasts got their start.
No, I'm not arguing that. So is this still the Vince Russo show? Is Vince on in just a minute? Is he in? Hey, Vince, are you there? I see, buddy. Hadn't talked to you in a while. Bro, how are you, bro? Did I ever tell you that he changed his number on me?
Well, you and I remember you wanted to get his number, and I asked him, and he said no. Remember that?
I do remember that. He's sending some. I remember. This is where I'm at in my life. I'm in fucking Japan. I'm in Tokyo, Japan, for Wrestle Kingdom, and I'm on my way, headed back to the airport, and I'm reading all these wild tweets from him, where I'm thinking, man, this doesn't sound good. I don't know about this. This might not be good. And I wanted to reach out to him and just try to, I don't know, figure out what was what. And it didn't work. The message wouldn't go through. So I told you, and you're like, oh, he got a new number. And you, being a good friend, didn't just hand me his new number. He said, let me just see if I should. And Vince said, no. Yeah. So as far as I know, that's the only person in wrestling who said, no, don't give me his number. But you know, it's funny because Eric Bischoff didn't say that, and he's running SmackDown and Fox, and Bruce Prichard didn't say that, and he's on Vince's jet helping run both shows, and allegedly Tony Schiavone didn't do that, and he just signed the richest contract in the history of his career, and Jim Ross didn't say that, and he's the voice of the hottest new thing.
Well, you know, he said he doesn't want to work in wrestling ever again. That must be his intention.
Well, I mean, does he have a wrestling podcast?
Yeah, you know me and you know Vince. How many times do you think we've talked since our last episode?
No, dude, here's what I know about Matt Kuhn. Matt Kuhn will burn a fucking bridge on you. Like, he won't wait for you to do it. He'll just set the motherfucker ablaze and be like, well, I thought it was going to burn down eventually, so I just thought I'd just go ahead and get a jump start on it.
That's about right.
You're the only guy I know who's like, man, this is the best group of wrestling friends I've ever had. This is so great. My life is greatly enriched for being a part of this group chat. Fast forward 2 weeks later, fuck this group chat. Hello, darkness, my old friend. Matt Kuhn.
We'd like to thank Conrad very much for being on the show this week. And it will be heard. And, you know, mostly it'll be heard because people want to hear from you.
What is this? Robbie E., are you back there? Dutch, can you hear Dutch? Medusa, are you there? Where is everybody? This is the worst reunion I've ever been to.
Well,
you know, I just realized everyone I just named was at StarCast, the first one in Chicago.
Yeah, everyone was there. And to be honest, I'm friendly with every single one of them.
Including Vince Russo. Why are y'all cross?
We're not cross. We're not working together anymore, so we don't really have anything to talk about.
Well, you and I aren't working together anymore, and we still talk.
Well, we're friends.
Okay. I think it's don't tell anybody. It'll ruin my rep.
Yeah, that's very true. That's very true.
Why do you think I'm mean to you, by the way?
What's that?
Why do you think I'm mean to you?
I think you're mean to me. I think you were mean to me. Once it started, there was nothing I could do about it. But I think you were mean to me for the same reason that Vince McMahon was mean to Jim Ross. Because I sell.
Oh, yeah, that's it. You definitely sold. You know, I don't really know that I put that together, but yeah, you would sell. But you know what? In fairness, a lot of the times my quote unquote meanness to you was actually helpful.
I wouldn't disagree with that.
I would, you know, give critiques, but I would do it in a very dickhead way. But as a result, I mean, your podcast career is really fuck it. Maybe it wasn't very helpful at all. How's Matthew?
Oh, Matthew's great. He's almost as tall as me now.
But not nearly as fat. So he's got that one for him.
Nowhere near as fat. He's very excited. You talked about GCW earlier. He's kind of hit me up to GCW. So we've been watching some GCW together.
Oh, did you see the show they did in Nashville like a month ago? I forget what it was called, but they did a show in Nashville and Tracy Smothers was on it. Did you see that?
I didn't.
So Tracy Smothers is on it and he has his daughter there. And he tries to get the crowd to start chanting, "Incest is best." And then he kissed his daughter on the mouth and is like, "Incest is best. Incest is best."
GCW is going to find a bigger audience. I'm 1,000% sure.
Well, I mean, I don't know how much bigger they even really want to be. I mean, they're running relatively small arenas, but they're selling them out very quickly. And so they're very profitable and they're doing sort of their thing. And I don't know what Brett's aspirations are. I know he wants Spring Break to be like his WrestleMania and get it bigger and bigger every year. And I love that. And the thing that I think Game Changer has going for it is that it is smaller. Like, you know, it's like in music, you're like, I remember their early stuff, or I was a fan of their indie stuff, or, you know, once it becomes super popular, then it's not cool. And I think that's part of the charm of Game Changer is, you know, they don't want to be Nickelback. Like they would rather be the indie band that you've never heard of. Sure. But if you're a hardcore connoisseur, you hold it in high regard. They don't want to be a Marvel movie. They want to be Pulp Fiction. I think that's cool.
I don't think I share this with you, but Bloodsport coming up, which is a GCW event, as well as the Joey Janela farewell show and a few other shows, you're going to be seeing a Total Engagement with Matt Kuhn logo on the GCW mat. Is it over now? Is it over for GCW? Is that it? Is it gone?
I was working a deal with Brett to advertise my mortgage company on that canvas. But if it's got Matt fucking Kuhn's name on it, the mortgage business will be bankrupt in 6 months. So I can't do it.
That'll be it. It'll trace it all to that moment.
So here's the deal. I got to buy you out or you got to buy me out. I think you should buy double Matt Kuhn.
My budget has been extended. That's all I got. That's it.
Well, that's a shame.
Because, I mean, you're well aware I don't make any money doing this.
Well, no. That's what I said. You know, there's two types of podcasters now in wrestling. It's people who do it for the love of the game and people who are putting up big numbers and making money. And
I appreciate you.
I just realized when I see you and Matthew, since he's the same height as you now, when I see you guys at StarCast walking down the hall, y'all are going to look like the number 10.
You know, it's funny, but it's kind of fucked up. I got to tell you.
No, I mean, it's the same as with me and my wife. We are the number 10. She's straight up and down and I'm a little more round around the edges.
Did you see the tweet that someone put about the picture of me and you arriving at StarCast?
No.
Yeah, someone tweeted a picture of me and you arriving at StarCast, and it was the fat twins on the motorcycles.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, that would be fine, but, you know, everybody who knows me knows I'm not riding a motorcycle. Neither.
Yeah, Matthew's got a job at Arby's now. He's working. His first job.
Well, are you getting him to smuggle home some meats?
Yeah, we're working towards that goal. But right now he's learning that working is not that fun.
What's your go-to at Arby's?
Oh, the go-to at Arby's, we got to get the curly fries. They have a brisket now that's really good. How about you?
Man, you're going to laugh, but I just go the classic double plain, nothing on it. I don't want the French fries. I don't want your jalapeno poppers. I don't want any Arby sauce. I don't want any horsey sauce. I just want the meat and the bread on the classic double. So stack me up some meat and I'm good to go.
You know, we've never talked about this, but in Vegas, you and I could not have been, or you particularly could not have been more pressed for time. And we were on an errand where you were very pressed for time, and we made a very quick stop at In-N-Out Burger, jumped out of the car like a couple fat guys, shoved the food in our face, and got back in the car like we stole something.
Well, because here's the deal. When you go to Vegas, everybody's like, oh, I gotta go to In-N-Out. So I knew if we took the bag back in, there'd be 40 people who are like, oh, you should have got me something. Motherfucker, I didn't have any time at all, and I haven't eaten today at all. And unbelievably, at that very moment, there wasn't a crazy line. So we got to knock it out, and we literally got to go in and out. And, yeah, I got my In-N-Out fix. That was the only time I had it the whole week. I was there for more than a week. I had it just that one time with you on a bench, and I don't even think that Megan knows that I hit it. But I had to have In-N-Out while I was there, and I had to eat, and we were passing it on the way. Why not? And by the way, that's the day I'm thinking about this. That's the you took me to MGM Grand to pick up my dollars worth of tickets.
Yeah,
that was fucking a weird day.
It was. We were driving. You were very serious. You're on the phone with everybody. You're dealing with all this stuff. Hey, just turn to me. You go like, you go, Coon, turn into In-N-Out. The tone of your voice. Let me know. It wasn't a request. This was what was going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, I was going with or without you. I mean, we're right here. There's not a line. We got to hit this up. Because usually when you go to In-N-Out, you're going to be waiting for a while. I mean, it's not fast food. Sure. They may say it is, but that line, that's a line, son. And it was not. And so we were able to scoot in and out, and it was awesome. It was good stuff. And by the way, I don't do all that crazy animal style shit. No. Give me the burgers.
Someone asked me, do you do animal style? And I said, I was born and raised in California. We don't do that shit. We just get the double-double. And you got two singles, right?
Yeah, so I don't really want the French fries. I'd rather have two sandwiches. I'm okay with two singles, or I'm okay with one double-double, but I feel like two singles is a better eat. I feel like the double-double sometimes can slide around on you and get kind of messy. So if you can be careful and you're not going to get anything on you, then the double double's hard to beat. But if it's a situation where, hey, I might need to worry about a little bombage on my shirt, I might go two singles.
Yeah. The two singles is solid. I never thought about it.
Well, you know, like this sounds crazy from a fat guy. Like I've never had a triple cheeseburger from Wendy's. You know, I know that's something we talk about all the time with Bruce Pritchard, but the double is as big as I have ever had there, and that's not even what I normally order. I'll get a spicy chicken sandwich, and I'll get a double stack. The double stack is like their dollar hamburger, but it's got cheese on it, and I just like the smaller burger. That's fine. I'm good with that. It doesn't have to be massive.
Do you like Bojangles?
No, I think Bojangles is terrible.
I agree. I prefer Popeyes.
Well, yeah, and I think the whole world does. They lost their fucking mind over that sandwich. Have you had it yet?
No, I haven't had it. But I was planning on it, surprisingly.
Now, here's the deal, though. I want to try it, but the other thing you know about me, I'm not waiting in line. Like the thing I have the least amount of is time. Not just because I'm fat, but because I have 19 jobs. So I don't have a lot of time. So I'm not going to go wait in line for an hour for a fucking chicken sandwich. I'm not doing it. Which is why I don't eat Chick-fil-A a lot, because I've never been to a Chick-fil-A where there wasn't a crazy line. So yes, I've had Chick-fil-A, but it's not a regular stop for me because the line's crazy. And every time I've been near a Popeye since the sandwich came out, like Megan told me today, she saw three wrecks in front of Popeye's across town today. We've got a few Popeye's here in Huntsville, and she saw three separate wrecks in one day where people were trying to get the sandwich and they're just lined up illegally on the street, stopped because they couldn't turn all the way in, and people just fucking plow into them. And I guess it's the cost of doing business with the best chicken sandwich in the world. So I'm going to miss it. And when everybody else gets tired of it, I'll check it out.
Is that a sign of a strong economy when there's lines around the block for a Popeye's chicken sandwich?
I don't think that's the sign of the strong economy. I think it's when there's bidding wars on real estate and people paying above sticker, you know, above ask. And you know, the idea that people are paying more than what is being asked. And they're not just doing that for houses, like that new Toyota Supra. People are paying above list for that. Like, who wants a fucking Supra, especially when that new Corvette was announced? I know you're not a big car guy, but where are you at on the new Corvette with it being a mid-engine?
I haven't seen the new Corvette.
What the fuck is that? Are you American? What's going on with you?
Could I fit in a Corvette?
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, that's what I, when I see these cars, I just think about how fat I am and it makes me
well,
sad.
But at the same time, you didn't think you could fit in my convertible and it was fine.
Oh, your convertibles were great though. That was perfect. No. You like to drive fast. You've always had a heavy foot.
Well, it's fun. Yeah. I drive fast.
Going down your hill.
Oh, wide open. I'm super comfortable in that. And I didn't realize it, but I guess, you shit your pants once going down the mountain with me.
I was in the passenger seat and you were driving. We were going to breakfast, I think. And the only thought I had in my head was, don't show Conrad how scared you are right now. Don't let on how frightened you are by going down this hill of traffic, you know, in a city, you know, at the speed we're going. I was insanely frightened.
Well, here's what's crazy too. You say that like I'm driving like a bat out of hell. It's probably going 60. I mean, it was probably a 30 mile an hour zone, but whatever. It's not terribly fast. It's just curvy and windy, but I do that curvy and windy every day, at least twice a day, no less than twice a day for 10 years. So I'm familiar with it and comfortable. And I haven't even put you in the crazy car, but I've got a 640 horsepower SUV now. So it looks like a mommy mobile, but, yeah, it's a drag car kinda. And you can manually shift it and launch control. And like, it shouldn't be as fast as it is. It is the definition of a sleeper. And I can't wait until you come to town next time, because I'm going to try to see if I can't have you Pat Patterson your pants.
How often are you in town now? You're in town more now, right?
All my live shows are canceled because everybody's got big contracts. So I've got two more live shows on the books. We had a bunch more, but we've had to scrap all those. We've got two more. We've got one with JR and one with Tony Schiavone. And that's it, because they both got football. So they're doing football shows every single weekend. We may add one more WrestleCade weekend, but that'll be it. And so at best, after Starcade, I've got three live shows this year. I mean, I would love to talk JR and Tony or whoever into doing one Chicago Survivor Series week, but those guys with football, you know, they don't want to do it. And those were always sold out, very financially successful with Bruce Pritchard, and we were building it with Eric, but they don't have time anymore. So that's a wrap.
Are you glad the live shows are ending, or are you not glad?
No, it's a revenue driver that's gone now. You know, you know roughly what those shows were grossing, but you know, if you're doing two of those a weekend, every weekend, three of the weekends, you know, so you can do the math, and when six of those go away, and that's essentially what's happened, is six of them have gone away. And, yeah, that's different, but as you know, I wasn't doing the live shows to pay the fucking utilities. So it's not that big a deal, but, from the interest of, hey, driving a business and wanting to show year over year growth, because 16 to 17 for something to wrestle was astronomical, and 17 to 18 was unbelievable. And 18 to 19 was going to be even bigger based on some stuff we had planned. But then 83 weeks was sort of the same trajectory. You know, last year was great, but this year was better. And I mean, way better. Same thing with Tony Schiavone. And so I like the challenge for me, and what motivates me in this is taking an idea from absolute scratch, from absolute zero, and building it from there, and seeing sort of what you can do when you really push yourself and challenge yourself to create, and then to grow something, and to see something grow is the most rewarding thing. And, you know, unfortunately, a lot of times the way you wind up measuring those things, one of the metrics you use is revenue. And sometimes when you talk about that, people say, oh, he's greedy or whatever. No, I'm trying to build a business, and, you know, number of tickets sold and number of sellouts and revenue produced. And those are metrics that you use for any business effort. And, it's fun to see them grow, and it's sad when, you know, they have to stall, but I understand why they're stalling. I mean, those guys are, are carrying out their passion and doing what they love and making more money than ever doing it. So good for them.
That's awesome. And we didn't even talk about Arn.
That's going to be a challenge. The Arn one's going to be a challenge because Arn has never, he's my biggest challenge ever. Because he's never broken kayfabe and he's not all the way comfortable with it. The idea of it. And he doesn't really know what to expect and he doesn't participate in social media. So we're not starting with a big social media platform, but I know that this is a funny, charismatic, engaging dude who's done it all. And once he gets comfortable, and that will take a while, it's going to be a really, really good show. But I do think the first, I don't know, few months, it's going to be, you know, a feeling out process, a maturation process. What we're installing is equipment the first week of September. We've got all of his gear and all of his computers and microphones and mixers and boards and mic processors. And I mean, he's got really top of the line good stuff. So he's going to sound good. And I know he's got the stories. It's just a matter of us getting sort of our rhythm. And once we get that, man, Katie bar the door.
Conrad never disappoints. A fun conversation, a little bit of an informal kind of talk, and I hope you enjoyed it. Some of it might make news. It usually does when it comes to Conrad. And please come up to me at StarCast. Say hello. I listen to Total Engagement. I'm looking forward to the daily shows. Come and find me. I'm not hard to find. And we'll see you very soon and daily on Total Engagement with me, Matt Kuhn.